we'll go about and we'll have family reunions, and when we have family reunions, all the relatives, they get together, and friends, and all of them, they just get together. And we'll see people that we haven't seen in a long time. And when we see them, we say, well, you know, I'm so glad to see you. And we'll promise each other that we won't wait as long before we'll call you. But then after we leave the reunion, and after we go back to our home and go back to work, we don't really, we think of them, but we get so busy. We get so busy that we just forget about them. We don't mean to forget about them, but it's because we have a busy schedule, a busy life. But what is so different today than what it was 25 or 30 or 40 years ago? Back then, individuals, families, they had time to get along with other families. I can remember right now when on Sunday, we would always go to my grandmother's house on Sunday, and we'd all sit there and we would eat lunch. And then after we'd eat lunch, then the children, they get together, and everybody get together, and we wouldn't stay inside. We wouldn't stay inside just talk. We'd get outside. I think we done got to the point that we got so in this electronic age, the technology age, that we'll get to the point now that when we got a little free time, instead of taking it and sharing it with a family or going to see a family or calling someone, that we'll just pick up the tablet, pick up the iPhone, or get on the computer or something like that and just get on that. And I'm just as guilty, or even probably I'm more guilty than anybody in here. But what's wrong with that? It's taken away from the joy. It's taken away the joy that I could feel each and every day. And the happiness that we can do. And not only that, I can remember a time, and it hadn't been that many years ago, I can remember a time that I would come home in the afternoon, and I would just go to the little study that I had, and I'd start reading the Bible, and then I'd start looking up in the commentaries and reading different things. But now, so much thing, I have so much to go on now, I don't have time for that. We have to take time. The Lord Jesus took time out for us. He takes time out for us each and every day. He takes time out to perform miracles in our lives. And speaking of miracles, I've seen where miracle has been performed here within the people here and within their families that I haven't seen. It's been a long time since I've seen. And I honestly believe this. And the night that I said that was on a Wednesday night, I believe it was, that Sister Donna had said something about praying for Sarah, that she was having to go through something, I don't know, another surgery or whatever. And the first time I've ever said it, And I said, God don't waste no miracles. He don't waste no miracles. Look at the miracles that he has performed on that child. I mean, you know, if he doesn't perform any miracles on us, that's okay. But he is performing miracles, not on just us, but for every living soul. There's not a soul out here that's walking today. There's not a soul right now, wherever they may be. They may be at Walmart. They may be at Kmart. They may be at the racetrack. They may out here just be walking up down the highway. Yes, and they may be out here taking drugs, drinking alcohol. But God still performs miracles in their lives. And he don't just perform miracles once a day. He performs them all day long. Because it's a process. It's a process that we have to go through. And it's a process that the Lord Jesus goes through also for each one of us. And with that process, we can come out a better people. We can come out with a better type of love and compassion toward other people. Why? Because I know the Lord's not going to fail me. He's not going to fail me. I may think sometimes, well, Lord, you know, where you at? Just because he didn't answer that prayer the way I want it answered does not mean it wasn't answered. Does not mean it won't answer. And I'm thankful tonight that he did answer prayer. He does answer prayer. He answers more of our prayers than we give him credit for. We'll give the devil more credit than what we give the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a fact. Because if something don't go our way, if something don't go my way, what will I do? I'll complain about it. Hey, I mean, that's just the human nature. We all do in our own way. But one thing about it, he never complains. You'll never have the Holy Spirit come and speak to your heart. Say, why did you do that? You broke the Lord's heart. He don't understand. He understands. Why? Because he was there. He had already walked where we're walking today. We, as individuals, we must realize that he's already been there. It's nothing that we can come up with. It's nothing we can say that where the Lord has not already been there. And he's already done walked in our shoes. He has already walked in our shoes. Tonight, if you will, that's another message in itself, but for tonight, turn back into the book of Ephesians. We're going to be in there again tonight. Ephesians chapter 1, and start with verse 15. But I should ask one thing. This right here, The Lord right here has, we have before us the book that will teach us what we must do. Teaches us what we must do first, and then what we must do next, and then what we must do then on. But I'm so thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the Holy Spirit, has taught me how to pray. You say, well, you mean the Lord taught you how to pray? Yes, He did. Because if He didn't teach me, who would I have to pray to? I'd just be praying just to be praying. But now I know who I'm praying to. And not only that, I know that I'm praying that His will be done in my life. Just like when He goes to the Father and He tells the Father. See, the Lord Jesus Christ, He prays too. Not just us. Some people don't think the Lord prays, but He does. The Bible speaks of it. The Bible speaks about it all the way through the Bible. That He prays. And He thanks God for it. And He's asking for God's will to be done in His life. But it says in verse 15 in chapter 1 of Ephesians. Says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. This right here is Paul, and Paul is also recognizing who he serves and recognizing where his ability comes from and recognizing what He helps him day by day. It's his faith in whom? The Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, I mean, I've heard people say, you know, if I was going to pattern my life, I'd like to pattern it after Job. I'd like to pattern my life after Abraham. I would too. But in knowing and just knowing what Paul had done before. Paul had Christians murdered. He may not have took his own. He may not have took their life in his own hands, but he gave out their orders to have the synagogues broken into where the people was in there, and they was trying to get away from where Paul and them was, because they had heard about Paul, and at that time was Saul of Tarsus was coming through, and they knew as soon as they had heard that Saul was coming through, they knew what was going to happen. They knew what was going to happen. It wasn't no surprise to them because they had heard it. They'd heard it there for years, this, where Saul would come by. And where he would come by through a town or a little countryside or something like that, and when he left, he always left his mark. He always left his mark of destruction. Why? Because he didn't believe in God. He didn't want to believe. He didn't want to trust him. So he had him put to death. But then he got on that road. One day, after he'd been to the office, it was probably on a Monday morning, I'm just saying a Monday morning, but he went to the office that day. And he picked up his orders to go about and doing his work for that week. I know what I'm saying right now. Yeah, a whole lot is being paraphrased. But this is just what I'm thinking, that he went by and he got his orders for the week. No doubt on a Monday, he probably went to the town that he was have to go to on a Monday. Probably went in there and he had people killed. Had the synagogues where the people could come in and worship and get away from all the turmoil that they was going through. No doubt he had some people killed and murdered. One of them days during that week, when within them orders, he had the orders to go to Damascus. Was them orders just give out? The Lord Jesus Christ stuck them orders there. He stuck them there. Why? Because he just knew. He just knew if he could once get Paul and get to his heart, and if he would just recognize who I am. If he would just realize that I am. He knew that he would have somebody that would have a backbone to him like a saw log. That nobody was going to break him. They weren't going to break him like they did Peter. Where, I mean, all Peter had to do just leave the Lord and go back down and go somewhere else and he'd meet up with some people there. They said, well, that looked like the Messiah that you've been with that they call the Messiah. It looked like the one they call the Lord. And you was with him. You was walking with him. Peter said, oh, no, not me. Mm-mm, that wasn't me. That was somebody else. You just thought it was me, but it wasn't me. Paul didn't do that. But when Paul got on that road to Damascus, when the light come down from heaven, it didn't come down and just come around this little circle. It come down and it was around the other people that was with him. They didn't understand it. They didn't understand what that light was all about. But Paul did. That's when Paul gloriously got saved. And what did he say right after that? Lord, what must I do? He was asking the Lord, what must I do for you? He didn't change his heart. The other people, they said, well, we didn't see nobody. Paul probably said, thinking within himself, no,
You didn't see nobody. I didn't see nobody either. But I sure did feel somebody. I felt that a jolt from heaven. If anybody ever feels that jolt from heaven, where God will touch them,
then they have the real thing. Paul had the real thing. I believe that very same day, and I'm not like a whole lot of these other people I hear and all these other preachers I hear and what they believe, but I believe the very moment, the very instant when the light came from heaven and come upon Paul and Paul got saved, the Spirit of God indwelled within Paul. He had the Holy Spirit in his heart. The Lord Jesus Christ was right there in his heart. God the Father was right there in his heart. Why? You cannot get saved and not have all three. I don't believe that you have to wait no 6 months. You don't have to wait no year. And you don't have to be where, well, now I've got the Holy Ghost. No, if you ain't got the Holy Ghost the very moment that you got saved, you didn't get saved. I believe that. But you've got a whole lot of people out here don't believe that. Why? Because we have false teachers today. We have false prophets today. We have false preachers today that are standing behind the pulpit and won't tell the truth. And won't tell the people. They don't realize that God has given them the flock to look after. They don't realize that when they get up here and each and every time that they stand and they open their mouth and they read the scripture and try the very best to expound upon it, they don't realize that they got the life of each and every individual that's listening. They got the life in their hands, in the palm of their hands. And it depends on what they do. It's what kind of life the individual is going to live. Verse 17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you this spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of the mighty power. The working of the mighty power is speaking of the working of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is what convicts me. The Holy Spirit tells me when I'm wrong. The Holy Spirit, He's the one that tells me, Donnie, you shouldn't have said that. So Donnie, you didn't hurt the Lord now. He said, now you need to go and apologize. I need to go and ask for forgiveness. And I need to tell the Lord I didn't mean it. I said it out of ignorance. I didn't mean it. I don't want to hurt you. See, the Lord knows all of this. He knows what our very intention is. He knows what my intention is. He knows every word that I'm going to say. And He knows what my intention is and what's going to come out of my mouth in the next 15 minutes. But with it coming out in the next 15 minutes, yeah, maybe the words that I may say, they may come and they may be jumbled up in a way that people don't understand it. And that's where you've got to say that it's through the ignorance that we don't realize what we're saying. I'm not saying that I said it out of ignorance because of what I know. I'm saying out of ignorance because I just said it. I said out of ignorance to bring a shame upon my Lord and my Savior. And I did not say it in ignorance of belittling nobody. That's when I believe that people need to realize that this is just not a one-way street. It's not just a way for what the pastor does. But it's a way to where the whole body of Christ and what it does. See, we become the body. At Faith Baptist Church, we are the body of Christ at Faith Baptist Church. Over at Community Baptist Church, the people that are there, they're saved. That's the body of Christ at Community Baptist Church. At Welcome Baptist Church, the people down there, the ones that's down there saved, that's the body and they representing who? The Lord Jesus Christ and who they're representing. That's who we're supposed to represent. We're supposed to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be His ambassadors. That's what the book says. We may say, well, I don't feel like being an ambassador today. It doesn't have anything to do at all about our feelings. It has all the things to do with what this book teaches us. Because this book right here teaches us things. Carry us to places where we would not go to any other way. It was just like yesterday. I mean, I know that me and Brother Bill, we've been calling Brother Dabney. And we've been trying to get in touch with him and trying to still go out and visit him. And we haven't been able to because of him working. And I understand that when somebody's working and they're working a public job, and especially when they're working all these long hours and everything, and then they just have a few hours off or something like that, they don't want to be bothered by other people. They want to be able to where they can sit down and just breathe a little fresh air. But yesterday went by and we was going to see somebody else, and we left there because they wanted home. We left, and when we left there, I turned and I was thinking of somewhere else to go. And I asked Brother Bill, I said, Brother Bill, do you know any place to go? And neither one of us said we did. And now I got to thinking. I said, let's go by Dabney's. We can just ride by there. If his truck ain't there, we don't even have to stop. We was aiming to go somewhere else. Right after that. But we went. We saw the truck there. So we said, well, okay, we're going to see if he's at home. I didn't know if his car was there. I didn't know if it was turned in the back or what. But we went. And I had the best time talking to him. Just talking to him. And he was bringing up things that was in the past by I hear. And he was asking about some people that were still, if they were still I hear. And we just had a good time. We stayed out for an hour, but out of that hour, we probably spoke about the church 5 minutes. If it was that long, right, Bill? We don't have to go in and talk about the church all the time, because they know why we're there. He knew why we were there before I even said anything. Before Brother Bill said anything. He knew why we were there. He won't need us saying anything about it. So we didn't. Until right at the end of it. That's what it is. We have to win the people's trust over. We have to allow the people to understand that we are here just to listen. We are here just to love them. And we are here for them. Because other people are not there for them. But we can be there for them. Every bit of it comes through two things. First of all, prayer. Secondly, have faith in what we prayed for. You know, it's foolish for me to get up here and preach and read God's word, and then I don't believe it. But there's a difference in believing it and truly loving it and believing it. It comes by faith. I know I can put my faith in the Word of God, that this Word that I have been reading from this book right at almost 25 years from the same Bible, that this what's in these pages right here has not let me down one bit. Oh yes, I have let the Bible down. I have let the Lord Jesus Christ down. But He has never let me down. He's always been there. He's always comforted my soul when it needed to be comforted. He's always there. always there. And it says right here one thing in verse 18. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. We know what we must do. We don't have to guess at it. We don't even have to pray about it. We know what to do. But Satan, he is there to rob us and to steal everything that we have. And if he can do that, if he can do that for 15 minutes in a day in our lives, he's accomplished something. He's accomplished something. Why? Because he's allowed us to where we could take our eyes off of Jesus and follow Satan. Follow the people of this world and do what the people of this world are doing. We need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. And if we keep our eyes focused on Jesus, we'll be okay. But once we take our eyes off of Jesus, that's when we're going to fall, and when we fall, we're going to fall hard. Yes, I have failed because of my legs giving out. I failed here. I failed going down the steps. I failed at the home. I failed on the pavement. But that's not the type of falling I'm speaking of. Type of falling I'm speaking of now will fall away from him. We'll fall so far away from him that we won't recognize it. The church is where backsliders start. That's where it starts. It's not at home. It's already at home. Well, then now, at home. Well, they're at home. Well, they used to come to church. Now they're not in church. They don't come no more. Why? Because they're backslid and lost their love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And once you lose your love, you've lost it. You lost everything that you've had. That's one thing I cannot understand by a traditional marriage between a man and a woman. They'll go out here, they'll start dating, and they'll tell each one of them, say, I love you, and I love you. Then they'll go and get married and everything. And then they'll get in church. They'll get saved and everything. And then you'll have them to come up. All of a sudden, the wife or the man, either one will come up and say, well, you know, I don't want to be married to you no more. Well, why? What's wrong? What did I do? Well, I just don't love you today. I don't love you today. It's just the same. It's the same thing. If I didn't love the Lord Jesus Christ today, I didn't love him last week or the week before.
We must realize once you fall in love, you're going to fall in love. Yeah, you're going to have heartaches. We all have heartaches. Me and my wife, we've been married this December. We've been married 46 years. We've had some heartaches. We've went some things that we did not even think that we could ever go through. But only by the help and the grace of God, we went through them. And we survived it. But I love her more today than I did the first day that I met her. Why? Because I'm with her. Because I'm beside her side. I'm helping her and she helps me. That's where the relationship comes in, when somebody else helps you. Has the Lord helped you? Has He? Is anybody in your family that He's helped? That He's touched somewhere or another? Don't you love Him for that? I do. I love Him for that. In my own family, my own life. Not only that, when I see that where the Lord is doing something for you, it also blesses me. I mean, one night last week, I forgot what night it was. My wife come back out and study, and she come back out and she said, "Donna, you got to see this. You have got to see this." So she took her little tablet, or iPad, whatever you want to call it, and she was showing me. Was Sarah there, had that little thing there, she was standing there. And she wasn't just walking, she was running just about. I mean, that right there blessed me in knowing that God has touched her. Amen. God has touched her in so many different ways. And I still believe today that God is going to use that little child there. In a way that where she don't expect it, in a way that mom and daddy don't expect it, and in a way that grandma and grandpa don't expect it, and even great-grandma don't expect it. God is going to bless her. Amen. And she's going to do things that is going to blow your mind. You're going to say, I'll never believe that. If somebody had come up and told me that she was going to do this, I'd have never thought it. See, God's in control. God knows how to get our attention. And He will do it with the young children. And sometimes the young children are the ones that suffer. They suffer to bring the family together. To bring the family together to where they can experience the love of God. That's what it's all about. It's what God can do. Our Father, we want to thank You, Lord, for this day. Now, Lord, we just ask, Father, that You may help us, Lord Jesus, through the remainder of this evening, tonight. Give us all a good night's rest. And Father, You just speak to our hearts and what You want us to do this week. And Father, we know that upcoming, we're going to be celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But I sure am glad that He's not in the grave. I sure am glad that where He has been all these years, He's right there in my heart. But we're just celebrating it.
It's just a reminder of really what he's done. And Lord, I just thank you for that. I thank you for what he's doing today. I thank you, Father, for what he's doing for the people in this church, in Faith Baptist Church, and in their families. And Lord, I just ask you, Lord, that you'll help each one of us to go about doing what we need to do for you. You don't need to do nothing else for us. But we need to start doing more for you. And oh Lord, I pray that you'll help us to understand that. Help us to be the witness to the people of the community that we live in, within the city, within the places that we go, to where people will see the expression that is put upon our face is the love that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. We ask, Lord Jesus, you will just help us to love you more this afternoon and more this coming week than what we did yesterday or this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.